This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news.
There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Max is grounded. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Thursday, March 14. Thanks for being with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The FAA is grounding all aircraft in the Boeing 737 MAX fleet following the move of other countries after a second fatal crash.
Colleges are in crisis management mode after an admissions cheating scandal. Hear how schools like Georgetown are responding.
The Senate today will vote on a measure to reject President Trump's declaration of a national emergency on the southern border.
And how your video game enthusiasm can look solid on your resume.
Employers in a whole bunch of industries are embracing resumes that include backgrounds with making or playing video games, basically because they've come to realize that this digital pastime can actually help employees with online collaboration, problem solving, and other critical workplace skills.
Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Needleman on skills gamers have that employers want. She's here in about 20 minutes. After increasingly standing alone since a fatal crash on Sunday, President Trump has announced that all Boeing 737 MAX airliners in the U.S. are grounded. The Federal Aviation Administration announcement yesterday follows a decision by Canada to do the same on the heels of two high-profile crashes of 737 MAX planes within less than 5 months. The turning point came yesterday when new data emerged offering a more detailed picture of the Ethiopian Airlines flight's final moments.
Pilots have been notified. Airlines have been all notified. Airlines are agreeing with this. The safety of the American people and all people is our paramount concern.
Aireon LLC, a company that provides air traffic surveillance, issued a report that showed Ethiopian Flight 302's flight path resembled movements of the Lion Air flight that went down in October off the coast of Indonesia. Specifically, it mentions its swift roller coaster-like altitude change. About every 8 seconds, Aireon uses equipment on satellites to track data transmitted by a plane's transponder. Georgetown, Stanford, Yale, and other universities are racing to contain damage from scandalous allegations that athletic coaches took bribes as part of a wide-ranging scheme to let the unqualified children of wealthy families gain entry to prestigious schools. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The Washington Post says Georgetown disclosed that a tightened vetting of athletic credentials after the university in late 2017 discovered irregularities in the recruiting practices of tennis coach Gordon Ernst. He was among dozens charged by federal prosecutors. He left the school last year. In Austin, the University of Texas said it fired tennis coach Michael Center, who was also charged in the case. The University of Southern California, one of the other schools under fire, said it would make decisions once its reviews are done. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Authorities said conspirators manufactured test scores and funneled payments to coaches who designated favored applicants as recruits, giving them priority in admissions. Affected schools said they were reviewing records of current students and graduates who may be connected to the scheme. William Rick Singer said he had the inside scoop on getting into college, and anyone could get in on it with his book called Getting In, Gaining Admission to Your College of Choice. The book is full of secrets, he said in chapter one, before dispensing advice on personal branding, test-taking, and college essays. But Mr. Singer had even bigger secrets, and those would cost up to $1.2 million. He pleaded guilty in the college admissions cheating scandal that unfolded on Tuesday. More on his profile from Gregory Cordy, national correspondent at USA Today. Gregory, tell us about him.
Well, he's 58 years old. He's from California, and he has been sort of working in this industry for quite a while, maybe 30 years. He even wrote a book about getting into college. But this company that he started, colloquially he referred to as The Key, would provide on the one hand, some pretty conventional college counseling services to students, helping coaching them on their college essays, test prep, helping to figure out which school was the right fit for them. But then he also had this business, according to prosecutors, where he catered specifically to wealthy and famous people who wanted to get their kids into the most elite universities and were willing to pay anything to make that happen. And so he used a variety of scams. He would alter the SAT and ACT tests, doctor the tests after the students had taken them, or somehow figured out a way to have a stand-in take the test for the students. He would bribe college coaches to get them slots on tennis teams, soccer teams, there was a pole vaulter, swimmers, crew teams. He'd allow these wealthy parents to really bypass the same application process that the kids of middle class or lower class parents would have to go through.
What struck me was that he guaranteed it, right? That's how deep his hooks were in, it seems.
Absolutely, and I, at least I haven't seen any case where he was unsuccessful in this scam. And part of what allowed this to work was that every parent he talked to, according to the transcripts of the wiretaps the FBI released, he would say, look, I've been doing this for years. I've helped hundreds of families do this. Everybody's doing it. And he also sort of played these people off against the super wealthy, saying, hey, they've got their own back doors. They can afford to pay $10 million to buy a new chemistry building on campus, and that's what gets their kids in. You can't afford that, but for a tenth of the price, for only $1 million, we can bribe a coach and get your kid in that way.
We're speaking with Gregory Cordy, national correspondent at USA Today, talking about this college admission scandal. How did some of the doctoring work?
It worked in a number of ways. The first step would be, though, to go to a school psychologist and have the child, the student, diagnosed as having some kind of learning disability, because there are rules that allow those kids extra time to take the test, but also importantly, you can do it in a separate room from the rest of the kids and have a one-on-one with a proctor. So that allowed it so that none of the other proctors or kids taking the test would be any the wiser as to what was going on. It would give the proctor additional time to erase the wrong answers and put in the correct answers. But it also meant that he had, you know, a number of proctors who were in on this, but they weren't always where the students were, and so the parents would fly their students across the country to be able to take a test with a proctor that Singer had lined up for this purpose. So, you know, obviously there's going to be a reckoning in a number of ways after this scandal has come to light, but test security by these college admission test companies is going to have to be something on the agenda.
How about the anecdote told by that ghostwriter you quoted in your story, who talked about this guy, Mr. Singer, trying to get this really rich kid to write a college essay about how his poor upbringing?
Yeah, and she worked on what we would call the more legitimate conventional side of Singer's business, doing that kind of college admission essay coaching and counseling. But she said she had one case where she kind of had an inkling that something wasn't quite right with this company when she came to the house to work with a student who said that Singer told him directly to write an essay about growing up in deprivation and in urban L.A. with a single mother. The student was really struggling with this essay because he couldn't imagine what it was like to be poor. He was doing this in a multi-million-dollar mansion in Newport Beach.
Thanks, Gregory. Gregory Cordy, national correspondent at USA Today. 15 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
There's nothing small about your business. Your passion, your hours, your reputation, it's all huge. Your partnerships, even bigger. With Dell Small Business Technology Advisors, you'll get the tech, advice, and one-on-one partnership to help your business grow. Because with reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, you can focus on what matters most, getting business done. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Thursday. Former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort has not only earned himself more time in prison, but has also found more legal problems. He was sentenced yesterday in Washington to 43 additional months in prison for two crimes related to his political consulting work in Ukraine. This is on top of the 47-month sentence he received last week from a federal judge in Virginia in a separate case. His attorney, Kevin Downing, said he's disappointed with yesterday's sentence.
Totally unnecessary. It was callous, it was hostile, and it was totally unnecessary.
Minutes after yesterday's ruling, New York prosecutors slapped new charges on Mr. Manafort. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office accused him of committing mortgage fraud when he applied to obtain millions of dollars in loans. The indictment charges Mr. Manafort with 16 counts, including residential mortgage fraud and falsifying business records. By the way, the judge in yesterday's sentencing prefaced her remarks saying that the case did not involve allegations of Russian interference in the election. It's 21 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Boeing's newest version of its best-selling airliner ever was supposed to boost its fortunes for years to come. Instead, it's turned into the company's biggest headache, with more than 40 countries now, including the U.S., grounding the 737 MAX 8 after a second fatal crash proved one too many. Yesterday, the FAA issued an emergency order keeping the planes off the tarmac, and this passenger was relieved.
It's air safety. They should, if there's any chance of any issues, they should definitely ground the planes until they can clear up what happened.
The French Air Accident Investigation Authority will handle the analysis of the black boxes retrieved from the crash site of the Ethiopian Airlines jet that left 157 people dead. National Guard troops are using specialized vehicles with tank-like treads to rescue stranded drivers in Colorado in the wake of a massive late winter storm that's expected to unleash heavy rain and snow on the Midwest plains today. The blizzard has caused widespread power outages, forced the cancellation of more than 2,000 flights, and wreaked havoc on roadways as drivers became overwhelmed by blinding snow. The storm also contributed to the death of a Colorado State Patrol officer who was hit and killed by a car as he helped another driver who had slid off Interstate 76 near Denver. The Senate has approved a measure that would end U.S. military assistance for the Saudi-led war in Yemen. The resolution would give President Trump 30 days after its passage to end most U.S. military aid for the war in Yemen, where the Saudi-led coalition is fighting Iran-allied rebels. The years-long conflict has killed thousands of civilians and pushed millions to the brink of starvation. The political game of is he or isn't he appears to be over for former Texas Congressman Beto O'Rourke. He is running for the Democratic presidential nomination. O'Rourke built a national profile while challenging Republican Senator Ted Cruz last year. For the 10th year in a row, Vienna takes the number one spot in global consulting firm Mercer's quality of living rankings. The firm ranks cities based on numerous factors, including recreation, housing, economy, transportation, public services, and social environment. Zurich was second, followed by Auckland, Munich, and Vancouver. You'll have to scroll all the way down to the 34th spot to find a U.S. city. That honor goes to San Francisco.
San Francisco is the highest U.S. city?
Yep.
With like $5 million per home or something? That's quality of living, huh?
Well, expensive.
Wow. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by Capital One. Capital One is reimagining banking, offering accounts with no fees or minimums that can be opened in 5 minutes. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Capital One NA. How about this change in the search for a job? Employers across a range of industries embracing resumes that include backgrounds in making or playing video games. It's a story by Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Needleman. Sarah, what are you hearing?
Well, what I'm hearing is that employers across a wide range of industries, so not just video game publishers themselves or studios, employers in a whole bunch of industries are embracing resumes that include backgrounds with making or playing video games, basically because they've come to realize that this digital pastime can actually help employees with online collaboration, problem solving, and other critical workplace skills.
So are there particular industries that seem to be attracted to these kids with the leadership and entrepreneurial skills tied to video games?
I wouldn't say it's so much industries as certain types of jobs. So, in the communications field, in the case of law, where you're working as part of a team or there's a lot of online back and forth, it depends on what kind of role you're going for. And certainly, like I said earlier, you want to connect the dots for an employer as to how these skills apply. One manager of customer service for a tech company that had nothing to do with games, it was a grocery technology, he said that gamers are the kind of people you give a set of instructions to and they'll just figure it out because they've done that with thousands of games. You know, modern games are, some of them are very complicated, and it takes a good amount of time and energy to learn the rules of how to play them and how to excel at them. And so he found that hiring people who are gamers are really good at picking up the technology that his company sells and then going and turning around and helping its customers navigate that technology.
What about, like, a lack of social skills?
Well, you know, that's the thing. These online multiplayer games are very social. And they're, you know, they've become in vogue in more recent years as, you know, the spread of the internet and faster broadband. More people have consoles. And so they're not antisocial. They're quite the opposite. And if you're part of a guild that competes on a regular basis, you know, every day at a certain time, and you have different responsibilities, and you have to carry that weight for your team, this is far from antisocial. This is quite the opposite of that.
Thanks, Sarah. Wall Street Journal tech reporter Sarah Needleman. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
With this job, having two hands won't cut it, which is why I thank the stars I have a third, Grainger. When my two hands are full, I fully rely on Grainger. They're America's number one source for industrial-grade supplies. So, whether I'm fixing a furnace or fastening a faucet, Grainger hands me what I need when I need it, which makes me a pretty lucky guy. Because when it comes to needing an extra hand, Grainger's got your back. Call or click Grainger.com to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
FMLA, FLSA, ACA, EEOC. It's harder than ever for businesses to keep up with today's evolving alphabet soup of regulations. What's a company to do? Kronos. With Kronos, you can minimize compliance risk and track HR policies, making sure they're applied consistently and fairly. HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping in one unified system, all with a proven implementation approach and simplified, transparent pricing. Learn more at kronos.com/compliance. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Thursday, March 14. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. The U.S. has grounded all Boeing 737 MAX 8 and 9 aircraft. Senate votes today on whether to uphold or reject the president's declaration of a national emergency on the southern border. Major blizzard continues in the plains. Tesla today will introduce an all-electric compact SUV. Actor Jussie Smollett to be arraigned today. Former NFL star Chad Johnson has joined the semi-pro soccer team Boca Raton FC. And the homeless kid from New Jersey accepted to 17 colleges. That story in about 20 minutes. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. Dell Small Business Advisors can help you maximize this year's budget and find the right business PC with 8th Gen Intel Core processors. Call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL. The Department of Transportation, which includes the FAA, faces its toughest regulatory challenge now, safety concerns on the Boeing 737 MAX. Two fatal crashes of the newer airplane in the past 5 months have led the U.S. and others, plus carriers, to ground the jet. More from Wall Street Journal travel columnist Scott McCartney. Scott, what's going on?
There's a pattern here. The DOT under this administration has been very passive. The top job at the FAA has been open for 14 months. Enforcement fines are down 88%. There's 35 different congressional mandates that they're supposed to be addressing, and there's been no action on them. I mean, even things that airlines often at odds with consumers, but airlines have been begging for rules on service animals, something we've talked about a lot. Mm-hmm. There's been no rules on that, even though airlines say, you know, there's an easy solution here, just adopt the Americans with Disabilities Act language. They also, when the Trump administration came in and asked for suggestions on regulations that they should kill, and airlines gave them a long list of regulations to kill, and there's been nothing on that either. So a whole lot of inaction at the Department of Transportation. The events of the week essentially raised further questions about whether They were being passive while regulators in other parts of the world were being more cautious.
We've had dozens of 737 MAX aircraft flying here in the U.S. for a couple of years now, right? Does this in any way amount to hysteria?
I don't think so. And I don't think so because Boeing has basically acknowledged that there is a problem. And they know there's a problem, and they have proposed a fix. There's been debate back and forth about how much needs to be fixed. Our understanding of the current software change that they're planning and that they're developing is that it's quite substantial. It's really the system that is suspected here. It's a flight control system, and the changes to it are going to be pretty significant. And so I think when you look at it that way, it's really not hysteria. I think there, you know, you're right. There are 74 planes or so in the U.S. Southwest was the first to take delivery of the MAX in the U.S. They've been flying it for a while. And they say they haven't had problems. American hasn't had problems. United hasn't had problems. But we don't really know why. It's a very small sample set. It is possible that U.S. pilots are, you know, now fully aware of the issues and better trained. The problem, this basic problem in design of this, that if the system goes haywire and starts pushing the nose down, which is suspected in the Lion Air case and possible, we don't know yet, but possible in the Ethiopian case, that the way to deal with that is to flip a switch and disarm the system. And that's how you avoid having the computer fly the airplane into the ground.
Okay. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal travel columnist Scott McCartney. So you reference it, training. When we look at Indonesia and Ethiopia, is it possible their training is not as good?
You know, it's certainly possible. Training is a controversial thing with this. Part of the problem here, before the Lion Air crash, pilots did not know about this. Boeing did not, and this is really serious stuff. Boeing did not flag this as a difference. This is the first 737 to have this system. So it should, what pilots were very upset and say, it should have been brought to our attention.
Yeah.
that this new system is in place, and this is how you disable it, because it's not their normal reaction. And if you don't know that, you don't have time to go looking for the MCAS switch, you know, to turn it off. In those few seconds when something happens, you probably don't even have time to recognize what the problem is. Now, you know, because of these accidents, pilots are quite aware of the potential problem.
Thanks, Scott. It's Wall Street Journal travel columnist Scott McCartney. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well at Gordon Deal. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday Eve. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we can be sure there isn't an app for this, but we can add something else to the list of functions our smartphones are apparently capable of. An Australian man had a lucky escape while confronting a man armed with a bow outside of his home, which ended with an arrow piercing his phone. Police say the 43-year-old man had returned yesterday to find this other man who was known to him waiting outside his home near Brisbane. They say the man held up his phone to try to take a photo of the armed man, who then fired an arrow and pierced the man's phone, causing the phone to hit him in the chin, leaving a small laceration, but nothing that would require medical treatment. The wannabe Robin Hood was arrested at the scene and charged.
Holy cow. An arrow pierced the phone?
Pierced the phone. Now this falls under the umbrella of don't try this at home, obviously, but there are pictures of the arrow, right through the phone.
Wow.
and apparently got stopped somehow by the phone itself.
Goodness. And then the phone smacked the guy in the chin
Yes.
by force. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Oh. But he's okay, thankfully.
by inches.
Yeah,
apparently.
Not exactly sure what prompted this confrontation.
Right,
he knew this guy, and the guy was waiting for him at his house.
Yeah.
You know, so we don't know the full story here of how this exactly came to be.
Clearly, stuff had happened before that, leading up to it.
A little bit. It doesn't sound very random.
Oof.
And it took some time, Gordon, but of a Bavarian town that accidentally ordered a 12-year supply of toilet paper is officially wiped out. The mayor of a small German town near Munich made the announcement that the last roll has finally been used up. According to Fox News, the toilet roll tale started in 2006 when a council employee mistakenly ordered two massive truckloads of the paper product. When the first vehicle rolled into town, authorities realized their mistake and were able to successfully cancel the second truck. However, they were still stuck with roll upon roll on the first truck. Now, part of the reason why it took the town more than a decade to use up the toilet paper wasn't because of the sheer volume of it, but because of the condition of the paper itself. Residents complained the gray-colored one-ply was too flimsy, turned brittle and yellow under exposure to sunlight. Some workers refused outright to use it and opted to bring their own toilet paper from home. Now, the silver lining in this fiasco is that the botched order saved the city money, over $1,000 by one estimate, because the price of wood rose the following year. And because of that, the mayor says they will give it a go and buy even more paper this time around. Only this time, it will be two-ply.
Yeah. I think one-ply, when you're talking about toilet paper, is redundant when you follow up with flimsy.
Right.
Right.
Which would make you think that perhaps this would have been used quicker because people kind of double and triple up.
You would
think in a situation like that, people using more, you know, per time they go in.
But you had a lot of BYOTP
in this case.
Yeah, which kept the supply around longer.
Right.
Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Air travelers planning trips in the weeks ahead may want to double check what kind of plane they're set to fly on. With the U.S. joining other countries in grounding the Boeing 737 MAX 8 and 9 aircraft after a second fatal crash, here's what to know from MarketWatch. First, your flight may be delayed or canceled. Airlines have a limited fleet to work with, increasing the likelihood that cancellations or delays may occur as they work to move any unused planes into service to replace the ones grounded. Southwest Airlines, with the most MAX 8 aircraft, 34, will have to work that much harder to reassign flights. Also, even in places with the most generous policies, airlines do not have to compensate you if the cancellation was caused by extraordinary circumstances. And travel insurance may not be of much help either. However, stranded travelers may be entitled to reimbursement through their travel insurance policy if it includes benefits tied to travel delays. It is 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, two black boxes from the Boeing 737 MAX airplane that crashed in Ethiopia are being taken to Paris for investigation as regulators around the world await word on whether it was safe to resume flying the jets. Following the lead of other global aviation regulators unnerved by the second crash involving a 737 MAX in less than 5 months, President Trump ordered the FAA to ground the planes.
Pilots have been notified. Airlines have been all notified. Airlines are agreeing with this. The safety of the American people and all people is our paramount concern.
Both the Ethiopian Airlines crash and a Lion Air crash in Indonesia occurred shortly after takeoff. Nearly 3,100 flights have been canceled over 2 days as a bomb cyclone makes its way across parts of the country, unleashing blizzard conditions and hurricane-force winds. Most of the cancellations are at Denver International Airport, where all runways were closed yesterday because of icy conditions and extremely poor visibility caused by the intense winter storm. The storm will move east today, bringing what the National Weather Service calls a Great Plains cyclone of historic proportions. The Justice Department is investigating whether $100,000 donated to a Trump-related political fundraising committee originated from a fugitive Malaysian businessman alleged to be at the center of a global financial scandal. The Wall Street Journal says the donation was made by a U.S. citizen who co-owns LNS Capital, a Hawaii-based investment company. Authorities are trying to determine whether transfers totaling $1.5 million to LNS Capital 7 months earlier originated with the Malaysian businessman. The FDA is moving ahead with a plan aimed at keeping e-cigarettes out of the hands of teenagers by restricting sales of most flavors in convenience stores and online. The new guidelines are the latest government effort to reverse what health officials call an epidemic of underage vaping. And some anxious hours if you're addicted to social media. Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp were inaccessible for millions of users for much of yesterday and into today. A Facebook status page for developers listed the outage as lasting 11 hours, making it one of the longer disruptions in recent years. No word yet on what caused the outage.
And yet somehow, Jen,
we're still here.
We're here.
Standing. We're making it.
Let's expand that. Let's try like 18 hours tomorrow and see what happens. See how we do. 6 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. A determined New Jersey teenager just overcame the odds to be the first in his family to go to college, and in an epic way. Despite dealing with homelessness, CBS News says 17-year-old Dylan Chittick now has his choice of colleges after receiving 17 acceptances. After moving from Trinidad at 7 years old and becoming a citizen, Mr. Chittick and his family went through countless heartaches. His younger twin brothers are living with serious heart conditions, and his family has been in and out of homelessness. The Jersey City student became the senior class president at Henry Snyder High School, got inducted into the Honor Society. He said it was his single mother's courage to ask for help from the nonprofit group Women Rising that makes him want to do better. Among many things, the center has put them up in permanent supportive housing, giving Mr. Chittick a safe place to study and wait on his last acceptance letter, which would be from the College of New Jersey, his top choice. Ultimately, he wants to study political science. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.